Breakfast puppies?
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Welcome to Camp Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. Counselor Jacob, why don't you tell us what we're drinking right now?
Well, folks, tonight we're having White Russians and cookies. I provided White Russians for everyone, and Poppy Beaujolais did a round of chocolate chip wonder for us, and we're going to have a good evening of milk and cookies. Hey, folks, I don't know if you know much about White Russians. Some people like them sweet. Some people like them more vodka-y. The bottle is in the middle of the table. If it's not sweet enough for your taste, I went on the light side.
Counselor Jacob, can you tell the uninitiated what a White Russian is?
A White Russian were the people in Russia who sided with royalty after the communist uprising of 1912. White Russians are 2/3 of an ounce of your coffee liqueur of choice. Kahlua is traditional. I prefer many other things, and we're here in Portland, and there are many, many fine coffee liqueurs to go around that are locally produced. And then 1 2/3 ounces of vodka. Vodka of choice. I tend to like a vodka that has a little bit more bite, but your mileage will vary. Then, depending on who you ask, there will be a float of milk, cream, or a combination of milk and cream. I tend to prefer straight cream. And I tend to prefer a light float rather than a heavy float.
Speaking of things that aren't straight cream, hey, welcome to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. As usual, I'm NPC.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Just Jacob.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And today we're joined by our good friend,
Alex.
Hey, welcome, Alex.
Welcome back, Alex.
Yeah, and this is our special summer camp episode. Just a couple days was the 4th of July. We were supposed to record that day, but we didn't.
We didn't feel like it. We America'd way too hard.
Yeah, there was a lot of America that day, and in the shape of burgers and sausages and explosions.
And
Dr. Gerrymander's amazing entrance to our barbecue, which is posted on my Instagram, and you should really watch with sound.
It was rad. Xander, you got a new ride.
I did get a new ride.
That thing is so sexy.
Tell us about it.
So I purchased a genuine Scooter Company's Hooligan 170i, and she is dark and sexy. She is technically freeway legal, as in the great state of Oregon. You have to be over 150cc to be freeway legal. I have not taken her on the interstate yet, because I'm not quite there yet. However, I did take her up to 60 the other day on a street, and it was fun.
Were you breaking laws?
I don't understand the question, and therefore I refuse to answer.
You know, speed limits are called limits for a reason.
Oh, that's right.
You know how many times I've heard that over the last 8 years?
They're more like suggestions, I think.
More limited like guidelines.
Limited imagination. But anyways, she is the Black Dahlia.
Ooh.
Because the second day I got her, I parked her and someone laid her out in the street.
Was biting my tongue because I was going to say, oh, what? Because you got her and she was in two pieces.
Nice. Let's take this to the road and preferably not lay it down.
Well, today we're talking about camping with your bike, whatever that bike may be. I just happened to get back from a trip up to Bothell, Washington last weekend, and I did exactly that.
I'm sorry, did you say you got back from a trip to a brothel in Washington?
No, Bothell, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Was it a brothel in Bothell?
I cannot confirm nor deny whether I was at the brothel in Bothell or if the brothel in Bothell exists.
Was it Bertha's brothel in Bothell?
I cannot confirm. I did have a lunch with an individual named Bertha, but I cannot say where.
Did you take Bethesda with you? Just go to Bertha's bar. I can't even do it. No, I lose.
I may have dropped a buck with Bertha at the brothel and Bothell. Damn it.
I think I took a bath once at the Bothell brothel.
Bertha's? B word.
Just don't order the falafel.
Oh.
Yeah, are we doing a bit?
That said, I had my first encounter with a real Bob's Burgers, and it's like everything that Applebee's wants to be and everything that Red Robin wants to be, except so much better.
Define Bob's Burgers in this context.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Because I've seen the show, but
it's,
I don't know what
it's
you're
a restaurant chain in unto itself that primarily focuses on burgers, and it does really good burgers. If you're in the Marysville area, stop at Bob's Burgers. There are
it's
other
actually
ones.
Called Bob's Burgers.
It is called Bob's Burgers.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Thought that was a reference I wasn't getting.
Nope.
Just a restaurant I don't know.
You're just a restaurant you don't know.
Okay.
Quick question about what we're drinking. How much vodka is in this?
Enough.
1 2/3 ounces.
1 2/3 ounces. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Plus the tip for you being a friend of mine.
Okay. I just wanted to know if I was thinking I needed to add more alcohol, but it sounds like I don't.
No, you don't need to add more alcohol. You may want to add a little bit of the liqueur, but be very light with it.
No, I like this is great. I just wanted more booze. Oh,
just drink the rest of that and see how you feel.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you're
that's
done.
Fine. Yeah.
Anyway, camping on bikes. Doesn't matter whether you're on a motorcycle, doesn't matter whether you're on a bicycle, does not matter if you're on a scooter. You can camp while on a bike. The factors that go into it is what's your ride? Are you on a touring motorcycle? Are you on a touring bicycle? Are you on a Sportster? You know, it all depends. The issue is what you are riding and where you are going drives what you're going to camp. Nowadays, you know, we're in a new age renaissance of this. They make tents that are specifically designed to cover your motorcycle or bicycle as well as cover you.
They're adorable.
Oh, yeah. And they're totally motorcycle packable. What? Even if you are in a cruiser motorcycle, you can clip that thing onto the back of your bike. It fits perfectly. You set it up. The rain fly goes over your motorcycle. Your seat is dry in the morning.
Amazing.
So you can sleep next to your bike?
Yes, of course.
Cuddle it while you fall asleep?
It is not suggested to have run the motor before you park it under the rain fly that goes over it, but I will say it adds a little extra heat to the tent on a cold winter's
night. For a very limited time.
Is this one instance where you shouldn't leave your motor running?
You should not leave your motor running for a number of reasons, including carbon monoxide poisoning.
Okay.
Well, what a hell of a way to go.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that come into play is you have to think about being super minimalist when you camp. It also depends on whether are you going with a group or are you going on your own. Going with a group, just part out the gear. One person carry the tent, one person carry the food, one person carry the cook stove. You know, part it out, split the load up. That tends to work a little bit better. If you're going on your own, then you have to get real, real thoughtful about it.
Very creative.
Very creative. At that point, you know, a lot of
I need to eat, for instance?
Unless you got something like a Super Tenray or a V-Strom or a BMW GS1200 with the cargo pods that you can pack everything in the kitchen sink with, we're looking at like hardcore backpacker gear, super lightweight, super non-bulky tents. Figure out gear that'll do more than one thing at a time. It becomes really important to make sure as much of your gear as possible is dual use. Pack the bigger spoon. You can eat with it and cook with it. Woo! Also, for those of you who ride sport bikes or scooters, that's a time when you start looking at hard cases and tail bags, because even though you have that beautiful underseat storage on a scooter, you need a little extra. In fact, there was a recent documentary, The Slow Way Home, I believe it was called, about a bunch of guys doing a like 250-mile ride on a bunch of sub-100cc scooters. Yeah. And they're camping the entire way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, none of these are highway legal scooters. And it's
no,
just awesome.
No. Well, that's also why I'm looking into getting a top case as well, because my underseat storage is decent, you know, but I can also carry a backpack.
Dear listener, if you have a link that you can share with us to your recommended scooter top case with a built-in flag mount, please let us know.
I might need one for reasons.
Might?
I need one for reasons. And that reason is America.
There might be a reward for the user who finds us the best one.
Note to self, insert scream.
God, the last time you fucking did that, I just was like, he wasn't lying. There's the eagle scream. This happened. This is great. This is all I've ever wanted.
Honestly, Xander, with having you on the show, I have so many opportunities to insert that eagle scream.
You know what, NPC? You're welcome.
Thanks.
America, you're welcome.
But anyways, once you get to camping, whether it's camp, whether you're going to a campground, someone's backyard, like I was doing in Bothell, you know, the most important rule, there is one most important rule when you're out camping. Where did you pack the toilet paper?
Mm-hmm.
The second most important rule is, where did you pack your toolkit? Oftentimes when you're going camping, you're going to go a little bit farther from home, a little farther than you're used to, maybe an area that's going to have poor cell reception. You're going to have to be able to take care of the small stuff, including the small stuff being tire punctures, especially for our bicycle brethren out there, which are more likely to happen when you're farther away from home. So make sure you have a good toolkit. Go through, look at not only what they pack and a factory standard toolkit, but what is recommended by the touring community. There is tons of web resources now for everybody who likes to go further afield.
Maybe go revisit our D-Day episode and pick up one of those 1890s U.S. Signal Corps bicycles.
Yes.
Because those things did pack tents and rifles and ammunition and toolkits and shovels and all kinds of fun things.
If you want some television ideas on ways that can inspire you to be a better bike camper, watch the 2004 miniseries with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman called Long Way Round, where these two insane dudes rode their motorcycles all the way from London to all the way east into Europe and Mongolia and Russia, and then flew across to Alaska and then rode from Alaska all the way down through Canada into the U.S. into New York City. And most of the time they were camping.
Mm-hmm.
And like the very first two episodes are just nothing but them planning their trip. And they talk about like weights of things that they can and cannot take. Like, can I fit a toothbrush into my pack kind of thing? Will that add too much weight?
Mm-hmm.
Do they discuss the weight of bobby pins?
No, I don't think so.
little Fallout 76 dig right there. Sorry.
I love it how the non-computer gamer at the table was the one who got that.
Someone actually went and mailed Howard a package of bobby pins because they were upset by how much they were weighing in the game and was like, how much do these weigh? And like mailed them to him with a scale.
That's why I prefer the old school D&D coin weight encumbrance system, mm-hmm. where everything is given in weights based on how many coins you can't carry if you carry this thing instead. Pretty rad.
You know, interestingly enough, did you ever read any of the articles in Dragon Magazine about how they did the coin weight?
No.
Well, coin weight was a representation of not only physical weight, but bulk.
Yeah.
And space. And especially for motorcyclists, especially for sport bikers, bulk is actually more of a factor than weight is. Your suspension and frame will carry far more weight than you're going to be able to find bulk for, and that ends up being your biggest problem. So size matters, and in this case, smaller is better.
It's true, especially when camping. Well, camping, motorcycle, bicycle, or car, the less you bring with you, the less you have to pack up and the less you have to keep track of.
Unless you want to camp like I like to camp.
It's not called camping.
It sure is called camping. I am obsessed with the little guy teardrop trailers.
Those are so awesome.
They're so awesome. And they make one that can be towed by a motorcycle.
They do.
The MyPod.
Yep.
And the new version's not coming out till next year, but they have like a full size bed, and they are, you know, the curb weight of them is 630 pounds. The tongue weight is 110 pounds. So you can just strap that bad boy on the back of your motorcycle and not have to sleep on the ground.
And if you've lived in Southeast Portland for any length of time, you've probably seen the two or three bike towable sleeping trailers that cruise the neighborhoods.
My old man dream, Like, my long-term goal is to get
to yell at
totally
clouds.
Well, while I'm yelling at clouds, I want to be writing a totally tricked out all the options Goldwing towing one of those trailers.
Oh, God.
To me, first off, the old 70s and 80s Goldwings, I think, are beautiful, both in the aesthetic of them fully dressed, but also naked Goldwings. If you take off all the plastic and you take off all the fairings, they are beautiful standard bikes. But the new Goldwings are like,
they
blow my mind. They are basically Winnebagos the size of a motorcycle.
Yes.
They're rad. Yeah. And I want to get one and then tow one of those around, and then we'll go camping.
Well, it's only a full-size bed, so so where are you sleeping?
I'm going to sleep in the saddle, baby. Like a true Goldwing rider does.
Well, I'll get a silver wing, and then I'll just get my own little pod for the back.
So the question becomes, so that actually raises an important thing when you're talking about those of us who are getting a little gray around the edges, starting to deal with the effects of aging. Not you, Xander.
Maybe you need a place to plug in your CPAP while you're camping.
Exactly.
You know.
So let's talk about power systems. We are in the age of the small solar panel.
No.
We are in the age of the USB port on your motorcycle.
No.
We are in the
matter, Xander.
We are in the age of the pickup charger on your bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pretty rad.
It is possible to charge your electronic devices on the road.
But you shouldn't.
Well,
if you're camping, they don't belong in a campground. God damn it.
Get off my lawn, electronics.
I'll tell you, there's nothing that infuriates me more when you're out camping and some asshole has his Bluetooth speaker and they're just blasting like stupid music throughout the campground as they set up their entire fucking daisy chained light system. And you're like, I thought I was in nature.
Yeah, but I love it when they bring a cassette player boombox with them and play all the best hits of the 80s, 90s coming at you on Cool 107.
I just like it when someone brings a guitar like a normal camper.
That takes space. The coin weight of a
ukulele.
Guitar is
ukulele.
So
harmonica. Five harmonicas.
I love harmonicas. Yes.
Okay, but
Jaharp.
But you're camping, so everything has to be dual purpose. So what you really need is a wash tub base.
So you can do laundry.
Brilliant. This is what jug bands are all about, see?
Brilliant.
No unitaskers.
Again, you bring your growler, then later it's a jug.
That's exactly. And then I'll go sleep on the nice cushy mattress in the pod while y'all are on the ground.
So when all y'all are camping?
In order for me to camp, I have sleep apnea. I have to bring a CPAP. Which means to camp, I have to bring a massive, expensive charger.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm bringing the massive, expensive charger, I'm also bringing other electronics that I can cycle off of it.
So let's talk about that. You're talking about packing electronics. We live in the Pacific Northwest. There is 1 to maybe 2 months, slowly getting more, thank you, climate change, where you're not likely to end up with a fair amount of water coming down at you at some point over your multi-day camping trip. The fact that I managed to get 3 days in a row in Bothell, Washington, and was dry the entire time except for morning dew was pretty damn fine. So let's talk waterproofing.
Yes.
Don't trust any waterproofing system on its own to keep anything dry. If you look in my saddlebags, you'll see my saddlebags that are relatively waterproof that have full-on rafting dry bags inside them. That's what carries my first aid kit, because I need that crap to work if I need it.
Now, I understand for a while, at least, you were making first aid kits,
mm-hmm.
small first aid kits, out of the edible weed containers.
Mm-hmm. Still am.
Those are great. That's a good way to repurpose plastic.
Now that I have access to a dishwasher again, I'm doing another round of them, and everybody at this table will be getting one.
Still waiting for one that I gave you the container for, like, 4 years ago.
It was only two.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm old.
But, yeah, so don't trust your waterproofing to one thing, and that also includes your gear. Like, a lot of bicyclists already know this. Nothing sucks more than wearing that cotton t-shirt, throwing on your raincoat over it, and then suddenly finding all the places water comes in. to be perfectly honest, you're biking. It's going to rain. Embrace the suck and move forward. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the stuff that you absolutely positively need to get dry, any food that will be spoiled by water, multi-layer that stuff. Put it in one semi-waterproof container and then put a waterproof container inside of it.
And do not skimp on cost for certain key items. Those would be rain pants. Don't get shitty rain pants.
Don't get shitty rain pants.
Shitty rain pants, they're shitty for a reason. You pay, the less you pay, the less you get.
And this is one mistake that people make over and over and over again. And I know I ranted on it a little bit during our winter riding episode, but I'm going to revisit it here. Make sure that your rain pants are actually long enough. Rain pants for walking around in are not rain pants that are long enough for riding a cruiser on.
Now, you really want the bottom ring of those legs to go around your boot tops.
Yep. You want them to be like comfily hanging around you below the ball of your ankle.
Can I just wear spats instead?
You can do that. You're going to get water intrusion across the top. But if you layer them, that's a great way to do it.
Nailed it.
But you'll look so good.
You'll look so stylish.
I'm not saying I was asking for that reason, but I was kind of asking for that reason.
Punties, the British Army leg wraps that they used in Africa and Asia, actually work really good combined with cheap rain pants.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words or final thoughts before we move on?
As with any kind of camping or outdoor gear, you know, please check if we live in the Pacific Northwest, we're recording in Portland, Oregon. You might be listening elsewhere. If you are going out into an area that you're maybe not familiar with, please do some research and find out what kind of animals live in that area. Because if you're not car camping, you need to do something about your food if you're in bear country.
Yeah.
Paracord is cheap and easy.
Yeah, hang it up and do some research. You put it in a cooler. You hang it up in a tree. Just check the safety for the areas that you're going.
Because if you're camping out on Stark Street, you got to watch out for those bears.
I get the joke.
Well, now we're going to move to a different part of the campsite. That spot where we set up the fire away from the bikes because we don't want to set them on fire. And you get warm and settle down and start roasting some s'mores and some wieners. And we play some games around the campfire. Now, when I grew up, we went camping a lot as kids. I remember I was in Boy Scouts, went camping with the Boy Scouts. My elementary school, we always went camping every year. We did a big trip, even into middle school. Didn't so much in high school because we were over that shit. But every time we went camping, we always sat around and started playing stupid campfire games. And I know everyone knows Pass the Stick, the storytelling game, or tell me your favorite horror story and build it up. And he's still alive today kind of stuff. But me, I liked dice and I wanted games that had rules and shit because I got corrupted by Dungeons and Dragons at a young age and I was kind of over that whole just tell me how it ends bullshit. What about you? Games? Do you have stories of camping and gaming?
Hide and seek.
Okay. That's a camp game, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Scavenger hunts?
Scavenger hunts. Did a lot of those.
I got kicked out of the Girl Scouts when I was like 10.
I got kicked out of the Boy Scouts when I was 12.
Hey,
yay!
I never even got in past the first meeting.
I grew up camping a lot, so, you know, ship, captain, crew, just about any card game that can be played with World War II era waterproof cards, you know, all of that sort of thing, plus more fun things like my family is really into throwing sharp objects, and so...
Hold on. That needs to be your shirt quote. My family's really into throwing sharp objects. Love it.
So, you know, going out camping and setting up a target and sitting there throwing knives and axes was part of the experience.
Did you have a scoring system?
Well, that was just bullseyes, you know, closest to the bullseye wins. However, on some camping trips, not so much with the folks, but with my friends, are you familiar with the dart game cricket?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's the only dart game I know, actually.
What is cricket?
So cricket is a dart game where you close out sections of the board and get a final score.
You eliminate numbers from being scored.
Right.
Essentially.
So some friends of mine managed to find a bunch of paper targets that were done in dartboard style. It was designed for outdoor throwing of darts, except it was slightly larger than it needed to be, which is how 22 caliber cricket got started. And that's out in the woods.
I thought you were about to go axe throwing cricket.
That's what I was thinking.
Fuck yeah.
The targets would have to be so much better, bigger, but no.
And sturdier.
We can make that happen.
This was all they did was throw the targets inside a PVC pipe with caps to keep it dry. And then we'd get to the campsite, set it up, pull out the handguns and 22 caliber cricket.
We mostly just shot beer and soda cans off of a log with little 22 and little BB guns. So I guess that's kind of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did shoot a lot of cans.
A weird game now that we're talking about this that I played with my friends when I was a little kid. And the whole thing was, you know, we're playing army, but the way you would rank up is by capturing the most frogs that were like in the lake.
Ooh.
You had to capture them and kiss them. And then you would rank up for some reason. I don't know how the game worked or why it worked, but that's what we would do.
Kind of adorable.
So you'd have different people to become like higher officers. Like, I'm in charge now. I found the most frogs and I done kissed them. Well, all right, Major. I guess that's the case.
Well, that's bureaucracy training if I've ever heard of it.
Nobody messed with Colonel.
I remember in Scouts, we had a game that we played called Scout Ball. We would play this regardless of camping. We would usually play it anywhere that we were mobbed together and we were left on our own. But Scout Ball is more commonly known by a name that is not politically correct anymore.
Nope.
Or probably wasn't even then. But anyway, I don't feel like saying it right now.
Is it Use Your Imagination Ball?
Sure, why not?
Sure, yeah.
So the entire concept of this game is there are no teams. There is simply a mob and a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's going to throw that ball, and then everyone's going to run and try to get that ball. When you get that ball, you run. Run, run, run. Run like a motherfucker. Get the hell away. Run as far as you can and as fast as you can.
Survivor rugby.
Hold on to that ball as long as you can.
Yep.
Because that mob wants to beat you up and take that ball. And then someone in that mob is going to take that ball, and they're going to run as far as they can. That's it. That's the game.
That is the game, yeah.
The scoring system is... Do you remember who held the ball the longest? Because they're currently a god in our group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like Buzkashi, which is my actual favorite sport on Earth.
What?
What's that?
It's the national sport of Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And it involves riding on horseback with two teams. And instead of a ball, it's a disemboweled goat carcass that you're trying to keep away from other people. And the look on Poppy's face was beautiful right when I said that.
And it's what sport is called what?
It's played with Buzkashi. Giant meat hooks.
Let's say it one more time.
Buzkashi.
Okay, you're not saying bukkake. Okay, got it. Good.
No, I'm not. But it is a game where you literally play keep away with a disemboweled goat carcass. And you have to like throw it into what I believe is called the Ring of Justice Society.
But can you play that at camp?
If you have a goat carcass.
If you have a goat carcass and enough horses, you sure as fuck can.
And it's dual purpose because you can just eat the goat later.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
But chances are you probably already ate the goat, and now you still got its carcass.
Well, you do actually cut off several of its limbs and its head, I believe. So you eat those first, maybe?
It depends on whether you're playing Afghani or Mongolian rules.
Yeah, but, it's tricky. And also, of course...
Where am I? Alex, what happened?
What year is it?
You're in Turkmenistan now.
I have no idea what happened.
And also, too, apparently the games are ripe for places of political assassination.
Yes,
they are.
Anyways, so I opened up with discussing one of my favorites, Ship Captain Crew, which is a dice game. Dice are great for camping. They're lightweight. They fit in a pocket. You
just play dice.
You can play dice. There's many, many different dice games you can play. If you are a nerd, you quick revert to a D6-based system and can get some RPG action. I have actually played Dungeons & Dragons written on the back of a birch bark section with a D6 that someone had in their pocket.
I agree with you. Dice are good for camping. If you get a pair of D6s, they're good for camping. They're good for you know, if you're in the car on the road trip and someone's doing the dice rolling, you can play D&D or something or a dice game in the car. If you're in the Winnebago and you're camping out there, you can have a solid surface. You can roll the dice on there. Dice aren't so good for sitting around a campfire, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But guys, the camp, depending upon the size of the group, the fire is probably going to be big and you're probably all spread around that fire. So you got to trust one person to roll the dice, or you got to trust every person to be honest about their rolls. And at that point, why are you even rolling? You should just be playing past the stick.
It depends on how big your group is. Like in a lot of the groups I traveled with, someone had like a sealable locking cap dice cup or medicine bottle that they carried the dice around with, because if you shook it up and then flipped it over and went bang, it kept the dice from bouncing off out of the fire circle into the darkness.
You just gave me an idea. Go to a grocery store. If any of them old school grocery stores and some mom and pop convenience stores still have the insert 50 cents, turn the crank.
Uh-huh.
And they have those little bubble domes that you pop out that have a toy inside of it. You could easily take one of those, put 2d6 into it, and the whole game is, all right, make your attack, and you shake it and throw it at the DM.
Oh, my God.
Catch it.
So there were a couple board games that were based on a sealed bubble. I think one of them is called Popple or something.
Trouble.
Yeah.
With the problematic bubble.
We had Trouble, but there was another one called Lucky Strike.
Right, but both of them worked
We had Lucky Strike. We didn't have Trouble.
Both of them were on the same system of you slapped the button and the whole mechanism would roll the dice for you. You can now buy those mechanisms on their own.
The problematic
from places.
Bubble?
From places like Alibaba. I've seen them a couple times on Amazon. They show up on eBay all the time. Getting those works great. The other thing is that, and I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but I'm a big fan of just throwing some marbles in a sock and teaching people how to play marbles around a campfire.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I thought you were going to say beat people with it. And I was like, oh, that is old school.
Teach them the meaning of pain.
You know, see, now.
Ah, my favorite game, pain game.
No, Alex, you and I are on the same wavelength. And to be perfectly honest, it might be. Remember when I was talking about camping and how you should have dual use items?
Yes.
The sock full of marbles is to teach people how to play marbles, and the sock full of marbles is for the surprise cougar.
Yeah.
She just comes up with a martini. She's like, hey, guy, how's it going? And you just whack her with a sock full of marbles.
Full of marbles is not going to do anything to a mountain lion. It's just going to whack at it. It's just going to bat it around.
Then it's not batting you.
Oh, my God. No, don't fuck with mountain lions, guys, for real.
I mean, I don't know if consent's involved.
No.
Speaking of marbles and a bag of rocks, I actually asked around online looking for games that you could play around the campfire, specifically games other than Tell Me a Scary Story or Pass the Stick and It's Your Turn to Tell What Happens. I want actual published games with mechanics, preferably those that cost money to buy. And one of them that was introduced to me is called Follow. Follow is a story game by Lame Mage Productions, and it is an interesting story game that you can buy online that uses a draw a stone from a bag mechanic, which I think is a fantastic idea for that kind of stuff. Like you have a bag full of stones and each stone has an icon on it or something, and you pass it around.
So that is actually an evolution of a very, very old game. I am not going to try to pronounce the original names. Swedish is not my strong point. But if you buy one of those cheap New Age bags of runes and then look online for Old Norse rune games, there are like three or four different rune games that all you need is a bag of Viking runes, and it's the same general concept.
Well, even games like Clank or Space Clank, like the entire mechanic of that game is you're putting your tokens into a bag, and you hope that when the clank happens, your tokens don't get drawn out.
I'm getting like super triggered because I'm just remembering Shirley Jackson's The Lottery.
Oh.
And I just don't want to play that game.
Yeah,
No,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you most people are not going to pick that up unless they know Shirley Jackson. I hear where you're coming
Didn't
from.
Didn't everyone have to read that in junior high and get traumatized?
Most people forget about it.
No, I read this book called The Hobbit. That's what I read in junior high. That's a separate piece. And so that's
fuck that book.
It was awful.
A separate piece. Fuck that book.
Anyways.
The marrow from his bone went into his heart. All right.
But I got some other games that were recommended to me as well.
Oh, you mean my favorite, Tablero?
No. I don't know that one, but I at least want to go through what I think are the most interesting ones. There's one called Into the Flames, which is literally a campfire game.
Cool.
Like, the whole premise of the game is that you're sitting around playing the game around a campfire, and you use the shadows from the fire as a gaming mechanic about ghosts. So it is a ghost game. Ooh. It sounds pretty fucking cool. The real short premise is it's a storytelling game about a haunted journey specifically designed to be played around a campfire.
Ooh.
There's another one called One Last Job, which is by a fellow named Grant Howitt. Let me talk a little bit about Grant Howitt, or G.S. Howitt if you follow Reddit at all. Grant puts out like a game a fucking week. He puts out these two-page games, which are some of the most amazing things.
One-sheet games.
They're basically one-sheet games. They each have a super focused scope, but they're super, super fun. And the one that was put out is called One Last Job. It's a collaborative storytelling game it's got some dice, but you can kind of push that part to the outside, where you take on the role of a washed up past their best crew and tackle that one last job before you all retire or die. Anyway, Grant Howitt, I was looking at his website, and I've actually watched the dude make his various posts on Reddit. He just has dozens of games, including one of my favorites called Hack the Planet. It's Hackers, the movie, the role-playing game. There's another one that some of you might have played. It's called Everyone is John.
Yep.
Everyone is John is a humorous, competitive role-playing game about everybody at the table is playing the various personalities of John, who is one insane man from Minneapolis. So you take turns overriding the personality and aspects of this person, one person who's nuts. And it's pretty fun. But the one suggestion that I'm kicking myself for not thinking of is the most obvious. Werewolf.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Werewolf.
Werewolf is wonderful around campfire.
I was just thinking about like Bang or something.
Bang could be good, but the cards, you got all these cards to keep track of.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need cards for Werewolf. You need a deck of playing cards, but who cares?
Yeah. Well, Werewolf, Mafia, whatever the various incarnations are.
Yep.
I don't know what Werewolf is.
I don't, except for one example I heard on a podcast once, so I kind of understand it.
Xander.
Okay, Jacob's touching me right now.
You're coming to GameStorm next year, and we're doing Midnight Werewolf.
Tell us more, Alex.
So I guess my remembrance of it is everyone in the village, yay. So you pass out cards, and somebody ends up being the werewolf, but you don't show anybody. And so everybody's a villager, and hey, it's daylight, great. And then it's nighttime, and y'all go to sleep, and then you wake up, and somebody's been murdered. And so everyone has to decide who the werewolf is. And that person at the end of the day gets hung. And so you may or may not have actually killed the werewolf, and then wash, rinse, repeat until the end.
So and it's kind of like the Salem Witch Trials.
It's witch hunt the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can see how it would be fun.
Call them werewolves so it's not as horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just killing innocent people, but they're not ladies.
You can reskin it for almost any one of those Enemies Among Us kind of games. Cylons is a popular convention. Who's the Cylon?
We still have to finish that Sunday, Alex.
Do we?
Those 40s aren't going to drink themselves.
Three episodes into season 4. I don't know.
Hey, y'all.
I don't remember because of all the 40s.
So I just want to go back to like regular playing cards. if you look online, there's a whole host of games that were designed to be played with each player having one card at a time, which is great around a campfire. Everything from Bullshit to any of the other ones. They're great campfire games. So if you have a deck of cards, who cares if you lose a deck of cards on a camping trip? It's always a good way to go.
You can buy them for a buck at any convenience store.
Also, 99 cents store.
Aviator playing cards are like a buck.
Also, look at all of the wonderful role-playing games that have come out. They're usually dirt cheap or free that use playing cards rather than dice that can get lost as a mechanic.
I love games that use cards. I've written two, working on three of them.
Oh my gosh, Cannibal Contagion? How do you say that name?
Cannibal Contagion.
Why do I always want to say Contagion?
Contagion.
I am Contagion,
conqueror of the Isles.
That would actually be really fun to play in a spooky campfire setting, like a zombie game. Yeah. That would be fun.
In a cabin, the game that I'm 4/5 of the way done with at this point, Arcanum, is that's the name. It's got to get changed because of copyright reasons. Is great in a cabin. Cabin gaming is a completely different option. It's just like camping, but adds a whole new environment.
Before we close this out, I would like to take a moment to talk about an inversion of this topic, which is camping in games.
Ooh, like LARPing?
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
Kidding, NPC, yeah. This is not fair.
I mean involving.
Are we going to do a completely entirely additional segment on this?
The concept of involving a camp moment or time in a game that you're playing. Video games do it, but tabletop games can do it too.
Savage Worlds
has the interludes moment, exactly. Which is essentially their draw a card mechanic to figure out who at the table is going to tell a cool story about their past while the group is camping. But I grew up with a Sega Genesis when I was a tween. And one game from the Sega Genesis was called, there was a series of games, but the one that I'm thinking of right now is called Shining Force.
Oh, I remember seeing that one.
Of the instruction booklet. I was one of those people that when I went to the store, I bought the game, I opened it up, and I read the instruction booklet in the car on the way home so I would know everything I could know about the game before I plugged that thing into my console and started playing for the next 5 straight days. Shining Force, in one of the very early pages of its instruction manual, had this little cartoon-style drawing of the main 6 or so characters that you have at the beginning of the game camping and having a conversation, and there was like some pantomime, and they weren't wearing their armor, they were in like their camping clothes, and they were just like, it just looked like people on an adventure hanging out having food around a fire. And I was like, that one picture from that instruction manual of a Sega Genesis game, it sticks in my head as one of the, it's why that game was so important to me as a kid.
Oh my God, you are giving me flashbacks to every freaking article and letter to the editor from Dragon Magazine about whether or not someone can wear armor while sleeping.
Oh God.
I just remember some of my most favorite camping moments ever in the gaming world was being out in the Mojave Desert in Fallout New Vegas. Going and meeting the Lonesome Drifter. Going and just cooking around a campfire and enjoying the spoils of my labor and the great food that I would cook.
And in a game like Fallout New Vegas, especially if you install some of the survival mods for it.
Which were the best.
They were the best. You actually, like, it turns building a campfire into a thing that you do, and then you cook your food. And then you eat your food. And while you're eating your food, you pop up in a lid and kick back a sunset sarsaparilla.
Sunset sarsaparilla.
You are essentially camping by yourself in a dark room with no one around you. But tabletop games, camping scenes are my favorite moments of gameplay. They're those moments where we're not going through a room killing monsters or looking for loot.
You just say this because you want to roll on the random encounter table.
No, I love it both as a GM and as a player. I love seeing really good role players take those moments to sit and be like, hey guys, so that was an interesting experience we had today. And then start telling stories and interacting with each other as humans, mm-hmm. as people.
I really, really enjoyed Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay for that reason. Not because of anything mechanically built in the game, but in the world. Because over and over again, it is hammered in there that being outside of a civilized settlement is actually a very, very tough thing to do. And I found one of the best ways to bring color into it was via the camping moments when you were trying to travel from point A to point B. And, you know, I mean, for someone who's kind of borderline survivalist, lots of camping history, being able to inject those color elements, whether as a player or as a GM, helped reinforce the world without random encounter Skaven jump you bullshit. The fact that, you know, the water, even though you boiled, it still tastes a little off tonight. You know, the fact that you found that your dry rations have mealworms in them, but you crush them up for added protein. You know, all of that stuff is
sounds like a bonus.
Adds to the suck, and Warhammer is all about the suck.
I will say that I am a storyteller first, an actor second, and a gamer third. For me, playing in games, I love the camp scenes. I love the bar scenes. I love the downtime. Those moments where the group is together, camp is the best for me because the adventuring party is hanging out together. There's nothing around for miles, just wilderness around you. You're making food. You're preparing where you're going to sleep. And you're having those conversations that people have. And it just gives such insight into what makes a character tick. And I think it creates a lot more connection to the characters that you're playing.
Well, more than anything else as well. Like, that's when you go and you bring out your lyre and you go, I'm going to go sing the song of my people because you've never heard this because I'm from a continent far, far away.
And now write a verse of it and I'll give you bonus experience if you do.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Right. And so it just enables players to go and really dig deeper into their own characters off the cuff. You know, and if you're playing a good group as well, you are from different continents, from different races. You don't know each other's songs or lore. And this is the time where you get to go and relax. And, well, there's the dwarven ale of my great ancestors beneath the mountain top. And we would always go and talk about this, that, and the other. And, oh, and that reminds me of a song. And a time where my great, great, great grandfather, King, once went and...
Fuck you, Jacob.
Fucking hell.
Oh, dwarves talking. What? I just tune out.
Elves are the worst, am I right?
Yeah, elves are the worst.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, be run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, be run. All you need is a 10 or 5 or cars and keys and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, be run.
This is Bike Roots, Dice and Bars. We do not endorse drinking and driving. Over to you, Alex.
Wait, we that's do not why, denorse?
That's why it says sober
that's
driver.
That's so Swedish of you to not accept the Norse.
Excuse me, what? I may have mispronounced something. You've got off the rails of sanity.
So,
Bikers, Dice, and Bars is pro sober drivers making beer runs. Hence yeah. the song.
Yes.
Or walking.
By Todd Snyder.
Just walk on down to your favorite local bodega.
Fast walk, even. So, speaking of drinking, when you're camping, you just get 2 18 packs of something. What do you guys think?
What do you prefer for 2 18 packs?
I mean, cheap. It's 2 18 no, packs.
What do you
drink
go for?
Paps. I'll drink High Life. I'll drink
Low Life.
I'll drink anything but Coors.
Anything?
Oh, well, of course you would drink.
Why not Coors?
Shots fired in the Pacific Northwest. I mean,
why not Coors?
Fuck you, Colorado. But continue.
Bottom tier of the bottom tier.
Ooh.
No, no.
Shots. I'm sorry. Shots fired. Shots fired.
What are we gonna do if Heidi listens to this episode?
That's not Coors. That's Michelob.
Sure, Michelob Ultra even?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Garbage. I've been misled.
So, but, I mean, let's say you walk in and all of the 18-pack beer is on sale for the same price. What are you going for, Alex?
I've just become acclimated through the years to Pabst.
Pabst.
And I'll
Pabst.
Just do a good old day of Pabst, day drinking.
Red, white, and blue. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Because America.
Absolutely. Okay. You have a quandary in front of you, Alex.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we're going to play this like a game.
Ooh.
Alex, you have stepped into the bodega. You were on a quest to acquire an 18-pack of beer.
Oh, look at all these 18-packs.
Your mission says, acquire 18-pack of Pabst. Unfortunately, the only bodega within a 100-mile walk does not have Pabst. However, they have different 18-packs of similar beers. They have Hams, Ronier,
give me
Narragansett,
ooh,
and Olympia,
or Old German.
Wait.
Or Olympia. Which do you pick from those five?
High Life.
They do not have High Life.
Damn it, Olympia.
They only have six packs of bottles.
Oh, Olympia. Yeah. Interesting.
You'd go Olympia over Old German, huh?
Over Narragansett?
I'm just not that familiar with Old German. I've had the odd
Old
beer
German,
here and
there. The official beer of Biker's Dice and Bars.
I would probably go Rainier over Old German.
Old German
over
if
Narragansett?
You're looking to sponsor a podcast. Yes.
For what it's worth, Rainier and Olympia are in the same.
Can I just go and put my hat into Team Iron City?
Not familiar.
I'm on Team Montucky.
Oh, Montucky.
Montucky's good. Montucky's good.
Get yourself but a cold snack.
It's no Iron City.
For me, it would be probably PBR or Rainier. Probably Rainier, PBR, Old German, Budweiser in that order.
All right. So let's take this back.
Hold on. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. Budweiser over Olympia, Budweiser over Narragansett,
yeah.
Budweiser over.
It's the beer she was raised on, man.
Yeah, I like how sweet.
Doesn't make it right.
I like the sweetness of Budweiser.
Over Montucky?
I don't know
if she's ever had a Montucky.
I have had a Montucky. It's been a while.
Okay, I propose.
Live by the horse, die by the horse.
I propose the next episode, we have a shitty beer taste off.
I've been wanting to do this for a while, actually. I want to do a blind tasting for like pilsners and lagers.
Just throwing this out there, when water's involved, Bud Light Lime. Is a refreshing treat.
Oh my God, a BLL. Oh, all right.
BLL. Oh, so good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the beer that almost killed my father.
I love
thanks,
the BLL Dad. To me is like, it is the king. I would drink a BLL over one BLL over like five Coronas because
Corona's a garbage.
As long as we're drinking it in the way I was taught to drink it by all of my.
By opening it and drinking it?
No. So a lot of my Colombian coworkers like to throw a pinch of hot chili powder in there and shake it up with their thumb and then drink it.
So my good friend on a sister podcast owns the Pirates Cove Strip Club, which is just only 6 blocks from our house. And one of the regular DJs at the Pirates Cove is my good Mexican friend, Dave, who always has in his pocket not one, not two, but usually three or four bottles of beer salt.
Oh, yes.
That he
beer
specifically
salt is the best thing
has to drink beers like Corona. To make beers like Budweiser or whatever taste like beers of Corona or whatever.
Yep.
So that he can drink these normal American beers and still have flavor.
Yes.
And I think it's fantastic. He has converted me.
So after we've grabbed our 2 18s of beer of our choice and we're heading out to the car, heading to the woods, whether we're going to a campground or in the outback, we're getting camping. It's time to drink around the fire, folks. What do we want to break out?
Whiskey.
Whiskey. Yeah, I mean,
every time.
Seriously, Old Crow practically shows up at every camping trip I go on.
It comes in a half gallon in a plastic container. And when you are camping, you are camping, it's a great thing to have.
Didn't you call it the beer that won the war?
The whiskey won the war because it was Ulysses S. Grant's bourbon of choice during the Civil War.
It was the beer that built the Transcontinental Railroad.
Whiskey. It's whiskey.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, it's not beer.
And
We're drunk.
I'm not.
So drunk.
When Lincoln's generals complained about drunks, I'm going to shut up right now. When complained about Grant's drunkenness, his response was send him two cases of his favorite bourbon, and that was Old Crow.
Nice.
Because apparently after really gruesome battles, he would go on like 3-day-long benders to like forget about what he had just seen.
You know what?
Yeah, because PTSD.
That's and because war.
Yes.
Yeah.
War
never changes.
So anyways, Whiskey over here with Xander. Poppy, what do you got for us to bring on a camping trip?
So generally speaking, like personally, I would go either whiskey or beer, but as the wannabe wine snob on this podcast.
But you want to camp in a teardrop, so.
I want to camp in style. So I
and
have
I
two,
don't blame her.
And I have, yeah.
You
I
want to glamp,
two,
and that's.
I want to glamp a little bit, so I have, two recommendations. So while the White Russian is lovely and delicious, it's a little sweet to pair with something that is also sweet. So if you're going to be around the campfire, making s'mores, doing that kind of a sweet treat later in the evening, what you're going to want to go with is a Zinfandel. And this actually is not a Poppy Beaujolais original. This comes from the book The Wine Club by Maureen Christian Petrosky. And she highly recommends s'mores with Zinfandel. And my two favorite Zinfandels are, according to my Vivino app, are Seven Deadly Zins, Old Vine Zinfandel.
A solid one.
And also the Sauban Estates Old Vine Zinfandel. And point of order, the Pop-Tart, the s'mores Pop-Tarts fucking pair great with these two wines. It's kind of incredible. However, if it's earlier in the evening and you're doing either lunch or dinner and you're doing your kind of standard campfire barbecue, you're doing wieners on a stick or you're doing burgers or something like that, I actually was introduced to a fantastic barbecue wine just yesterday from a local guy.
Oh, it's so good.
It was so good. So this is called Open Face Wines. It is a mixture of Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris. And it is, and then even the name Open Face refers to an open face motorcycle helmet. Mm-hmm. This guy, this local winemaker, he delivers his wine on the back of his fucking motorcycle.
All right.
And he is the bar manager at Laurelhurst Market.
Oh, okay.
And his name is Michael Kroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had Michael's wine.
I did not know Michael was a motorcyclist.
He is.
It was really good. So the description of the wine when we went for this tasting was, this is a good wine for a barbecue. And it's like, okay, whatever. First sip that I took, I'm like, ribs. Yeah.
Yes. This was an excellent. So Open Face Wines, this is his first release, first vintage. Mixture of Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris, which makes you kind of go, what the hell?
No,
that's what I said initially.
No, that's
wonderful.
I hate to say it. That's actually a classic English recipe.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a red wine, but it's lighter than say a Zinfandel. So on a hot summer day while you're barbecuing, perfect wine.
It's normally referred to as a summer claret.
Ooh.
We got beer. We got wine. What are we going to pack liquor-wise into our tiny little travel compartment for our portable camping bar? Liquor.
What time of the year is it?
Summer, dude. It's summer camp.
Oh, right. Sorry. I mean, again, I'm just going to go with... you just have to go with whiskey. Whiskey is the premier...
What whiskey? It's summer. There's a shitload of whiskeys on this podcast. We've talked about many of them.
Mm-hmm,
from American to Ireland and even a little bit in Japan.
Islay Scotch would be a good one because that pairs well with the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
I would also go and say just really kind of like solid but yet inexpensive Kentucky bourbon. I'm thinking Buffalo Trace would be a good
Works
one.
Great.
Also High West. High West has some phenomenal campfire-esque whiskeys.
If you have a good seasoned stainless steel flask, Redbreast 12 being passed around the campfire is a thing of magic.
Yes.
Now, let me go a little further afield. Let's say you want to drink something that doesn't come out of one container. A beer, a bottle of wine, a whiskey. let's say you want a mixed drink. This is the first time on this podcast I get a chance to pitch one of my favorite books, The Three Bottle Bar.
Ooh.
Look it up. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on eBay. It's how to construct a bar out of three bottles. For camping, your space is going to be a factor for a lot of us, especially if you're not traveling in a car. Get some MSR brand plastic bottles. They don't alter the taste of liquor at all.
What is MSR?
It's the company. It's the company MSR brand. It's,
where can you buy these bottles?
REI, Next Adventure. It's on the internet. MSR, just look it up. I have found those to be the bottles that least affect the taste of alcohol to the point where I have not been able to notice it side by side after 2 weeks in the bottle.
Dang.
As long as they're not stored in direct sunlight. That is the factor. They're
sure.
They're that.
Don't ever store alcohol in direct sunlight. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
But with that, you can construct a bar. What you need is three alcohols, a bottle of bitters, and then whatever mixers you want to drag along, including classic cocktails that all you need to do is bring a little bit of bitters, a couple sugar cubes or packets of sugar in a plastic baggie, and you can do old fashions. You can do Manhattans. You can do... one of my favorites is a gin and tonic where the gin and tonic are pulled out of the stream and poured in the glass.
I like this. I like this. I'm picturing it now. We've got, if we want to have camping Manhattans, you're going to have your bottle of rye and you're going to have your slightly smaller bottle of vermouth,
mm-hmm.
but you're also, and you could mix this up. You can do Manhattans and old fashions because then you bring your bottle of bitters, mm-hmm. but you also have a couple of oranges because first off, you want the peels, but second off, you don't want to get scurvy.
Right.
Scurvy sucks.
Scurvy sucks.
And then you can
not part of the British Navy.
Easily pack this all together, and you have both fruit that you can eat, mm-hmm. you have things that you can drink, and also you can use the whiskey mm-hmm. if you need to sanitize your hands.
Right. And
don't get too nice of a whiskey if you're planning on doing that.
I'm not going to give recipes for this one on the air because you have to be a little bit of a pro. But anybody who wants to reach out for me, if you can find wild nettles, I have several nettle-based cocktails that you will love.
But if you back us on Patreon, we talk about the things that we frequently don't want to talk about on the air. So maybe you can convince Jacob to give it to you on the sly.
I want to see the download. I want to see the backers. I'm not going to post until I see the backers.
Brandon, let us know.
Brandon, Tin Man, Greg, our listeners. Oh, Jeremy's our listener now, too.
Jeremy. Up your game, bro.
Up your game, bro. So if you want to go the ultimate one bottle mixed drink, I highly, highly, highly recommend Bootleg Botanicals. So my good buddy Ryan Belshi and his wife Melanie run Bootleg Botanicals, and they do an old-fashioned cocktail infusion kit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically have, you can transform your favorite rye whiskey or bourbon into a ready-to-enjoy old-fashioned cocktail. It's in one fucking bottle. It's mm-hmm. $35 for the kit. Simple, simple packing.
We've talked about beer, we've talked about wine, and we've talked about liquor. I'm going to bring this in a circular way back to the gaming.
To Blairo.
Alejandro.
Yes.
You introduced me to a game a few years back. I would say it's about 8 years now that you introduced me to this game. It involves beer cans and duct tape.
Oh,
why is this wizard or wizard staff, however you want to go
wizard
about it.
Staff.
So tell me about this game, because I think it's a great campfire game if we're bringing beer.
Does this involve taping together cans with duct tape and battling? And if you knock a can out of the stack, you have to drink it?
That's more rules than it has, but that works too. That's fantastic.
Because I've done that
you
one.
Elaborate.
Boy, have I gotten hammered.
Yeah, no, you just, you get more wiser the more cans you have attached to your staff.
Yes.
So we played the wizard staff party at our first beach gathering for my birthday in June. And Alex introduced me to this when we're like, all right, cool. This is the drunk night of our gathering. And a whole bunch of us were just like, okay, we're just going to slam back beers and then tape them together. I think I only had 6 in mind, but I think someone ended the night with 12.
Would that someone be sitting at the table? Okay.
Is
that someone's liver still alive?
Wait, who was it?
Have been Sean or Abel.
Was it Sean or Abel? Oh, we're not. What did you just do to my cat?
The cat's out of the box now.
So one last thing I want to say is when you pack along, if you are not bringing containers that you can drink directly out of, beer cans, the classic beer bottle, you know, passing around the bottle to drink. If you're hanging with me and my crew and a drinking horn's involved, you know, you have to figure out what you're going to drink your beverage out of. I really want to make two strong recommendations. Again, look at MSR brand drinking vessels. They make a bunch of plastic and even better titanium, especially for cocktails. I found titanium in the wood tastes better. If you're going to,
you can run over it with your car.
Well, I mean, even then it'll bend, but it affects the flavor less, especially if you're going to be dragging a Redbreast 12 and you're not going to be drinking straight out of your MSR brand container. Pour it into a titanium container. It does not affect the taste as much.
And I will close this out with one last note that if you want an almost indestructible container, what you need to do is come meet us 2020 in May in WagonCon. Talk to us and Matt Buckley. Because Buckley has an experience that he can share with you of an indestructible container.
Speaking of indestructible containers, I did inherit my grandfather's camping set of Arrowhead made in Cleveland, Ohio, plastic indestructible containers that have existed now for almost 70 years.
It'll give you cancer, but it'll never break.
Yep. And these are plates, they're cups, they're saucers, they're bowls, and they're indestructible and beautifully American made. And you can still find them sometimes on the internet. And I have them. They're lightweight too.
Send us pictures.
Yes.
I have one more very important question. What did y'all think of the cookies that I made?
They were pretty decent. They were nothing to sneer at.
They were an absolute delight.
They were chocolate chip cookies, and I love those indiscriminately.
Then did you eat one?
No.
Would you please?
I ate three.
Oh!
No. I'm going like, classic. Poppy was not changing or paying attention.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
I like camping, I like booze, how about you?
I do. I like caffeine, I like booze, how about you?
I do.
I like camping, I like booze, and I like boobs.
Most of all, I like you.
I have boobs.
Yeah!
Do you like them?
I do. They're awesome.
So we all like boobs at the table. We have agreed. Yeah.
Boobs are great.
That's tits.
That is totally tits, That is totally
Don't
tits.
Don't leave me hanging.
Don't leave him hanging.
If you like them, I grew them myself.
So what I say about my mustache.
Ah, nice.
That's what I say about my hair.
Anyways, this has been Biker's Dice and Bars, the camping edition.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of fun things here that we like talking about on the air, but we also talk about in person. You can either reach us on our Discord or you can contact us on our Patreon. Send us questions. We have so much that we want to talk about, but it's kind of in this sort of development hell miasma of figuring out what to talk about next. And I think the best idea to make us talk about something cool is for you to say, hey guys, I want you to talk about the Sarlacc pit and what drinks I can make based on it. And I'll be like, we can make that happen.
I can, actually.
Yes, we can. This can be done. And further, you know, I know that a couple of y'all have reached out to us and asked questions directly via Facebook Messenger stuff. Guys, girls, folks, just throw it out on the Discord. Just throw it out on the Facebook page. Let the world see the question. It helps us a lot. It helps us answer the question. I've actually answered the same question 3 times now from folks. It would have helped if, you know, next time, just throw it to the Facebook page.
So what do y'all think about camping? Are we going to go camping?
Yes.
Please.
Yeah. Can we please all go camping?
Yes.
Are we going to throw in our funds and get a Vickers Dyson Parse Winnebago?
No, you are going to get an 8-pound per person limit. We're going to go out in the wild.
You are
going to get a knife, water purification tablets, and we are going to do 2 weeks, and you are going to learn to live like
we're going to fishing pole and a hook. One hook a person. Use it wisely.
I don't shit outside.
I'll shit for you.
Okay.
So you're going to be constipated for a damn long time.
Damn it.
The answer to does a poppy shit in the woods, the answer is no.
No. Okay, well, it's more nuanced than that, but generally speaking, no.
I just don't think we're going to get along with camping, you and I.
You know what? A 5-gallon bucket with a toilet seat on it, that will be fine.
I am totally cool with us going to some place where you can be in a camp in a cabin that has running water. You can be in whatever campsite you like, and I will be out in the woods with a rain fly and nothing
else. I don't need running water. Oh my gosh, y'all have got the wrong idea. Ask me on Discord. I will tell you the truth.
So if we can get some yurts, I love some yurts.
I love some yurt action.
I would also love for us to go like yurt camping and then do the tree line zip stuff.
So 2 rules. I don't sleep on the ground. And I don't dig a hole to shit.
So you don't camp.
I don't not spend half my camping time collecting firewood to make big fires.
That's totally fine.
I don't understand.
Just Alex, you're in.
Just bring bring the flaming it's sword great. And we're good.
Sure. Okay.
Acquire another one.
That's what the magnesium's for.
On that note, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Who disagree strongly about camping, but it's fine. That's what friends are for.
Exactly. And again, I am NPC.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Just Jacob.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And joining us once again is our good friend and housemate.
Contributor King Alex.
Yay!
Hey, Alex!
And we wish to remind you again.
Always drink responsibly.
Always tip your bartender.
May your dice always roll 20s.
And always keep a shiny side up.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
That's about
it. Did we miss anything?
Yeah. Nope, yeah. Okay. Got it all.
Alex, what do you got?
Don't eat yellow snow. I got nothing.
And if you're going camping in bear country, don't leave your fucking food out, you idiots.
Yeah, pick up your cans. Don't leave your trash
around.
Leave no trace. I know.
And fill in your shithole.
Above leave no trace, make your campsite look better than where you found it.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Thanks for joining us, friends.
You've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, saving things and all the likes. You can listen to it in your Alex.
But mostly it's about
mostly it's about mostly it's about
dice and bars.
Yeah.
Okay, Alex, the next time we have you on, we're doing the heavy metal episode.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. But Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Yep.
I want to start a new Breakfast Puppies bingo game where we're going to get names of all of our randomly generate names of all of the best dive bars currently in town.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to wait about 20 years and see whichever set closes first.
You are a morbid motherfucker.
Wow.
This is the most depressing game of bingo. Like, oh, I've won. Now I have to kill myself.
Here I was thinking about doing a dive bar bingo, and you have to go and go all super friggin' evil.
No, I was thinking about a Biker's Dice and Bars bingo card where for each, you know, kind of like B-movie bingo, for each episode, they get a square when one of us does one of our, like, annoying signature things, like every time Jacob Hyena laughs or every time I don't know what the
fuck
I'm saying or actually or whatever the fuck I do.
I think Xander's is sure is.
Sure is. Sure did.
Sure did. I don't know what mine is. Speaking of ... Yeah.
Yes.
There it is. There it is. Anytime Alex doesn't say anything. Oh.